So, all that having been said, let's conclude this first section with a few thoughts. I want to share with you, as I began to read and understand a little bit about this, and as you do too, I saw that there was, Jesus says very clearly, this is a gift. And it'll always will be a gift, and it's only a gift. There's nothing, he says, that we can do to merit it. Because if we merited it, it would be a payment, he says. But this is not a payment, it's a gift. And we don't have to do anything to merit it. But we do, it seems to me, as I read the writings and reflect, it seems that there are some dispositions that we're going to have and establish in ourselves in order to receive the gift. And I want to share with you what some of those dispositions are, because I think we all have to be working on them. The first disposition is humility and abandonment. There's no question about this. We have to become nothing in the sight of God, and that's humility. Jesus talks to Louisa. He says, "You are nothing, and I, God, am everything." And when you recognize your nothingness and my everythingness, then you give me glory, because that's true humility. The Lord, I am nothing, and you are everything. And Louisa, because she's very clever and sometimes very funny, she always uses everything to her own advantage. And she says to the Lord, "Well, if I'm nothing and you're everything, then you who are everything must give to me who is nothing." And that, in a sense, is I would call it the universal law of charity, that he who has must give to he who has not. And in that is so beautifully expressed what the divine will is, that when we really recognize our nothingness and truly become nothing, meaning we put our human will aside completely and don't give it any more life, when we've totally abandoned ourselves, annihilated ourselves as Jesus did, then because we have nothing, then God, who is everything, gives us everything. So it's a beautiful exchange. We give away our earthly nonsense, and he gives us his heavenly presence. And that's the beauty of it. So he says to Louisa, the human will was the receptacle that I put in mankind in order to contain my divine will. And when you do acts of your human will, you fill up the space with your own human activity. He says, when you stop doing your own will, then you empty the space out, and then I have the place to come back and put my will. So that's what the abandonment's about, and that's what our humility is about. The second disposition I see is that there has to be an interior life and an interior love for God, especially for God the Father. The interior life is the one that allows us to do that kind of praying, and though I would assume most of you already have that you have your heart focused on God, and that you do the little acts of love and speak to him from your hearts during the day. And that has to grow even more, because as you see, the characteristic of praying in the divine will and doing our acts in the divine will means that we have to be invoking God and asking him to act in us. So there's going to be a constant interior dialogue with God, not enough to where you won't be able to work anymore. You'll learn to do it simply, like Louisa, in the will of God. But that has to be there, and especially for God the Father. We've always been trained and taught, and of course the fiat of redemption is our Lord Jesus, so we think so much in terms of him. But he said, "I came to reveal the Father." He said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." You know, he directed us to the Father. And now is the time we have to understand that more than ever. Our Father in heaven. We have to start having the same interior dialogue and disposition of love for God the Father, because this is the Father's kingdom. This is the kingdom of God the Father on earth. This is God the Father, the head of the family, his earthly family, who is establishing his paternal reign on the earth. And so begin to, if you don't have the proper, or haven't thought much about your relationship with the Father, change your thinking and think about him. Get rid of any thoughts that God the Father is a terrible father, or an angry father, or a difficult father. God the Father, being God who is love, is the most gentle, the kindest, the most loving, the most tender Father that is in all creation. And you need to begin to realize that, and to call upon him as Father, and to approach the throne where he is, as Louisa does, speak to him, pray to him, and think about him, because in that great love for the Father as it grows is where everything will take place, and you'll see that a little bit more. The third thing is what he asked for. It's harmony with God. And that harmony means that we're going to be trying to put our lives in conformity with all the activity of God, the love, the forgiveness, that we're going to be doing our spiritual practices as we've always known them, that we're going to be actively receiving the sacraments, okay? That we're going to have the word I couldn't find was devouring love, the devouring love of God, which devours all souls, that wants everyone to be brought into God, and that has pain and suffering because those souls are not yet in God. This is part of having the sensitivity, the feelings, and the thoughts of God. And we have to begin, I guess, in that harmony is really to start thinking and feeling the way God thinks and feels. And the fourth thing I would say is, and I put these together, is our promise and Our Lady. The promise is that we have to say yes to God. We have to give our fiat. We have to say to the Lord, yes, I want this kingdom. I want you to do your will in me. The promise Jesus says and he wants from us as we enter and begin this is, promise you will never do your own will again. Well, I just picked up this pen and that was my own will. It seems impossible, but it's not. It's not impossible because in the writings he tells us that it is Our Lady who will enable us to keep the promise. It's Our Lady, he says, who will form us in the divine will. It's Our Lady who will take us by the hand, and you'll see this even in the Queen of Heaven book, take us by the hand and lead us step by step, she says, into the will of God. So we know that it's a journey and it's a process. It's a process of saying no to ourselves, saying yes to God, of saying, putting our sinfulness aside, becoming holy. All of that is part of the process. And Luisa spent many years. The first volume of her writings takes, it seems like, 20 years or so of her life. And she still wasn't in the divine will. But she was learning and she was growing and she was overcoming her sinfulness. The other thing that Our Lady says, which is the most beautiful of all, she says, when you fail, when you do an act of your own will, and even when you sin, she says, if you will put the act on my lap, I will cover it with my own merits and convert it into an act of divine will. So the merits that were lacking because of our acts, she'll put hers on. So what a mother we have. See, and she will be the one. And if you ever take your sight off of Our Lady and think you're going to get into this kingdom, I don't think so. I don't think so. She's going to be the mother of the divine will. Our Lord says, the 35th volume of Luisa, that Our Lady is forming her cohorts, her children on earth, and that she herself will lift them up and take them to heaven and present them to God.